very appropriate in our culture to stop things once in a while and to remember a special event that happened in our past. Of course, all of us would be familiar with birthdays, and we look back and we thank God for giving us our children, and we take time on purpose to focus on that child and to, in a sense, just be thankful for the fact that God has given us that child. In America, of course, we have certain holidays where we look back. I think of Thanksgiving coming up, and there's a whole story that's behind that, how, again, God's hand was upon those pilgrims as they came here that first winter, and they were divinely led several things that enabled them to stay alive here in this new land. I was just reading the story this week, and how it's amazing how God had his whole hand in that, and how they came to America and then were able to, start a new country here that we enjoy so much today. And it's appropriate for us to celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's appropriate for us to look back and be thankful to God for what he has done for our country. We have, of course, President's Day. We have other days where we have special people that we remember, whether it be George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or certain great people that have changed our society. Nobody's changed our life and our eternity like Jesus Christ. And so Lord's Supper was something that, again, it's very appropriate that we stop and we look back and remember the fact that he shed his blood for us and paid for our sins so that we could be saved. He himself was the one that started it, knowing that it would be a right thing for us to do. And ever since Christ was here 2,000 years ago, groups of people have regularly stopped everything. And tonight, for a few minutes, this is not our time, this is not church time, this is the Lord's time. And we ought to give him all our focus and all our hearts as we remember him. Certainly, he's worthy of that. And the Bible says we worship as we worship, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it's very important that what we do this, not just in an outward manner or in an appropriate manner physically, but with all our hearts. Truly, God deals with our spirit, and truly, God deals with our hearts, and God knows our hearts. And this ought to be a very special time in our lives as we regularly have the Lord's Supper together. And we ought to, again, just for a little while, lay everything aside, even those things that are good and right to do, and just focus on him. This morning, I said somewhere in one of the sermons, I said, you know, God has to always be first. And this is one of those things that we do on purpose to keep him first in our minds. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes and take a few minutes to just be right with him. Confess any sins that you have between yourself and him. Confirm again your love towards him. And we ought to take this time together with our hearts, again, fully able to be close to him and right with him. And I'll lead us in prayer in just a few minutes. Lord, you said that where two or three are gathered together, there you'd be in the midst. And tonight we believe that. Tonight, Lord, we want to look up at you, and Lord, we want to remember the great price that you paid for us, revealing your love to us. Lord, we're here tonight, a saved people. Lord, we're saved because of you. Lord, because you interceded for us, you mediated for us. Lord, you became our ransom. And so tonight, Lord, we again want to give you all the credit and all the honor, Lord, with being our Savior. Lord, we stand before you knowing, Lord, that it's not our righteousness that saved us. It's not our works, our deeds, or the fact that we came from a certain family, Lord. but we were saved by the blood of Christ. And dear Jesus, we again look up tonight, and we want to thank you for being our Savior. Father, we want to thank you for sending your Son here to die for us. And we want to remember him together as your children. Lord, we pray that, again, you draw close to us during this time. And Lord, may we treat you appropriately as our Savior. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. That night, Jesus gave them a symbol of his broken body, as we have here this evening. It's symbolic, but yet at the same time, the fact that we remember him through it is a very wonderful thing. The piano will play as we pass it out. We'll take it together in just a few minutes.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Sunday, one Sunday a month, where we can just set aside all our needs, Lord, and just focus on what your Son did many years ago. Lord, please help us to remember his death on the cross, or the sacrifice that he made for our sins, the ultimate price that was paid on Calvary, Lord, for our sins. Lord, because of him, because of his death, Lord, we have life. We have eternal life. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. We love you for that, Lord. We thank you so much for that sacrifice. We ask, Lord, that you please help us to remember this till we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." That evening as well, caused their memory to be stirred, he gave them of the cup of the vine, symbolizing his blood. And again, we do this regularly. The Bible didn't tell us how often to do this, but enough to keep it in front of us. And so tonight, we again, on purpose, we remember the fact that Christ shed his blood for our sins, and that's why we're saved. God the Father tonight sees the atonement has been made. No high priest ever has to go into the temple again and bring the blood of a sacrifice to the presence of God. Jesus did that once and for all for us. We praise God for that tonight. But again, our salvation for us was free, but it wasn't free. We received it as a gift, but it was paid for by Jesus Christ, shed blood. And tonight we remember that and remember him. Again, as the piano plays, the men will pass it out, and may our hearts remain thankful towards him during this time.
Let's pray.
Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice, Lord, that you sent you Jesus, sent your son Jesus to make for us, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for the assurance that one day we could be in heaven, Lord. I would just ask, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to stay focused and looking straight ahead at the cross, Lord. Lord, there's a lot of temptation here, Lord. With your help, Lord, we can overcome, Lord. Lord, it's because of that blood that was shed that we can overcome. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we want to stay focused on the cross, Lord. And Lord, we need your help for it. And we just are so grateful, Lord. And Lord, we neglect you a lot, Lord. And Lord, help us not to do that, Lord. Just ask in your name.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, we want to be mindful people, Lord. We know we tend to be forgetful. Lord, we tend to take from you and forget, Lord, that it was at great expense that you gave us the blessings that we have. The greatest blessing we have, Lord, from you is our salvation. And Lord, we know it was you that made the plan. It was you that gave it to us as a gift. And Lord, we thank you tonight for this wonderful, wonderful gift of the forgiveness of sins so that we can have a relationship with you, we could walk with you, we can go to heaven, we could live for you while we're here. Lord, I thank you again for this marvelous, marvelous thing that you've done. A love that we can never fully comprehend and never will fully comprehend. But Lord, this we know is that we have it. And Lord, we're glad for it. Amen.
Let us turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to be reading verse 1. That's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1. And at this time, out of respect, the word of God, let's shall rise right now. And again, turn our Bibles to the first book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Let us pray. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for Sunday night service. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us here together again. Our last service of the day. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless the day. Lord, please be with the pastor tonight, Lord. Fill his heart with the Holy Spirit power as he preaches from your word. Lord, please help us to listen, Lord. We want to hear from you today. Lord, please help us to learn something we can apply to our lives. And Lord, those principles that we learn, we can use them, Lord, to just honor you through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, do the night around me befalling, but he bids me go through the voice of war. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that message and that song. A lot of you got to know each other a little bit in the couples retreat, and a lot of you are getting to know other families, and I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think that we can be an encouragement to each other. I think that we can be a strength to each other. I think that we can influence each other for good, and I think that's what the Christian life is all about. Amen? I think that we always ought to try to help our brothers and our sisters and those that are around us live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want to show you something that I think is even more crucial, and it's something that we care about even more than ourselves. I think that being around Christian people, whether it's at an activity or in Sunday school or in church, is a wonderful thing, and certainly iron sharpens iron. But beyond that, I know all of us have concerns that go beyond even our own personal lives. And I want to speak tonight on this subject, the long-term benefit of godly friendships, the long-term benefit of godly friendships. And I'm going to be kind of brief, but I'm going to use the Bible a lot, so if you'll open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and then we'll pray together. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. You all got it? 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's pray. Lord, we again ask that you please cause us to see this truth, Lord, because it is a truth that is certainly very clear in the Bible, and Lord, is woven throughout your word. Lord, you don't just deal with our generation, but Lord, you deal with one generation after another. And Lord, we pray that you would again help us, Lord, as we determine friendships and as we draw closer to other brothers and sisters, Lord, that we would make wise choices, Lord, not just for our sake, but those that will come in the future. Please, Lord, guide this evening service, and may your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a what? Covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. David had just completed killing Goliath, and obviously David was a man that was a man of faith. He obviously was a man that loved God. He was obviously a man that was willing to be loyal to the king, King Saul. And Jonathan noticed that. And the Bible says that David spoke to his father, Saul, and the Bible says that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan, again, was looking to make was looking to make good relationships in his life and was looking for people that were of a like mind. Let me say this. David was a great man in the Bible, Jonathan as well. And we could talk about Jonathan quite a bit tonight, but Jonathan was a very serious Christian, very humble Christian, and just wanted God's will to be done. But here, Jonathan chose as his friend David. And probably many of you have heard sermons about this perfect relationship. I shouldn't say perfect in the sense that's sinless, but again, it's a model relationship that Jonathan and David, if you will, established. And the Bible says they made a covenant and loved each other. Look, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 19. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11, we won't take time to read it, we see that Saul, the king, started getting jealous of David, and the Bible tells us that he cast a javelin in verse number 11 at David to smite him to the wall, and David avoided out of his presence twice. David became the object of Saul's hatred and jealousy. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Remember that Saul is the king, and the king's son, Saul's son, was Jonathan. Jonathan, because of the fact that he was around his father, was able to meet David, and Jonathan decided to become friends with David, and they were probably of similar age, being that Saul was older and was the king. And so here we see that Saul, the king, Jonathan's dad, told his servants that they were going to kill David. Verse 2, "But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand before besides my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake," what? "Good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without cause?" And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Again, we see Jonathan's tremendous loyalty to David, his dedication to David as his friend. They had made a covenant together, and they had decided to be friends. And Jonathan stood up for David. And again, he could be depended on. He said, "Listen, David," he says, "I'll go down with you if you go down. I'll stand up for you. If you go down, we'll both go down." And it was, of course, during a time of great difficulty in David's life that Jonathan chose to be friends with David. Jonathan was no fair-weather friend. David's life was in danger when Jonathan, again, continued to build his friendship with David and continued to be loyal to him. And he was a friend in the difficult times as well as in the good times. Sadly, if you look in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, and he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." For the third time, King Saul tries to kill David again because of his jealousy and because of the evil spirit that now has been in his heart because the Lord had removed the Holy Spirit from him. And so you see, again, David running away from King Saul. Look in chapter 20, please. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Again, Saul was now out to kill David, and for the next numerous chapters, he was going to pursue David, trying to take his life. Jonathan, though, had made a covenant with him, and Jonathan, again, with the Lord's help, had made a relationship, a friendship together with David. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it unto me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Again, Jonathan says to David, I am your friend. I'll be with you no matter what happens. In verse number 8, please, if you go down to verse number 8, therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? David speaking to Saul here, and he says, listen, he says, I'm in a covenant with you, and if I've done any wrong, kill me yourself. Verse 9, and Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly the evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? Again, Jonathan reconfirms the fact that he's loyal to David. He said, listen, we're brothers. We both are believers. We're both trying to do God's will. We both are walking in God's path. And both of them were. When you read the entire story, it's an amazing story how both of them were dedicated Christians. Look down to verse 23. Verse 23, again, Jonathan says to David, he says, as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold the who? Lord, be between me and thee forever. Jonathan again says, look, this is going to be a relationship, again, with a brother in Christ, between a brother and a Christ, brother in Christ. Look down to verse 33. Verse 33, here, Jonathan stands up for David with his dad. And again, almost he gets killed now in 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let's start in verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 32. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him, now with Jonathan, to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Again, you see Jonathan developing a relationship with David and being committed to that relationship. Verse 42, verse number 42, the Bible says, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went in to the city. Here are two brothers in Christ. And again, Saul now is relentlessly pursuing David, and he hates David. He's jealous of David. But Jonathan says, listen, we have made a covenant between the Lord and you and me, David and Jonathan and God. And they established this relationship. They established this friendship, both believing that it was God's will to do so. Look to chapter 23, please. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 15. Are you with me? As I said, David is fleeing now. It's not an easy life. He's constantly under threat of death. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 15, the Bible says, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in what? And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. That's a tremendous statement right there. Jonathan, of course, was Saul's son and was in line to be king. But Jonathan was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he said, listen, I don't believe that's God's will for me to be king. You be king, David, and I'll just be your servant. I'll just be the one next to you. I'll help you in anything you need. That's how willing Jonathan was to follow the Lord, even to give up the throne for his friend David. And so we see here, again, that Jonathan went to the middle of the forest and strengthened him and spake good to him and said, listen, it's going to be all right. Look, if you would, now to 1 Samuel chapter 31. David continues to be pursued in the wilderness. Eventually, Saul and Jonathan tragically die. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 1. The Bible says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew who? Jonathan. Tragically, Jonathan never gets to be an assistant to David. Tragically, the Philistines attack, and Jonathan is killed in this battle. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We see two men that in their lives made a covenant with one another to be friends. They chose wisely and carefully who they would associate with and who they would, if you will, accept as friends. We need to be wise with who we make friendships with. Jonathan dies. But that's not the end, because we have to remember this relationship was between Jonathan and David and the Lord. The reality is this relationship is two-thirds still in place. God is still there, and David is still on earth. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 1, David becomes king. The Bible says there in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Look down to verse number 12. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Here we see that now David is the king in Israel. David, if you will, is in a place where, again, he is leading this great nation. Look down to chapter 8, 2 Samuel chapter 8, please. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 13. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse number, 15. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all the people. Chapter 9, please. Chapter 9. David now is king. Again, when he was a young man, he met another young man. His name was Jonathan. They decided to become good friends. Both of them were serving the Lord. Both of them wanted God's will. They decided to be friends. Jonathan proved his friendship to David over and over and over again. And let me say this, that's such an important thing, not just to lightly use this word friend, but the word friend means I'm going to use my life so that you can reach your potential. That's literally what Jonathan did. And Jonathan was David's friend. And Jonathan had great plans. He says, one day, David, you're going to be the king, and I'm going to stand at your right hand. I'm going to back you up, and I'm going to be there for you. That never happened. Jonathan is killed. David becomes king after Jonathan's death. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Keep in mind, Jonathan's in heaven. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? God is still alive. Amen. And David's still on earth. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Then now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I imagine he kind of thought, I don't know what David has in mind. You know, a normal king may have even tried to kill him because he also was in the lineage of the king. He was the king's grandson. And maybe he was even afraid for his life, and he did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for who? Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He said, listen, Mephibosheth, I'm not here to find out who you are so I can kill you. I want to show you kindness. I was your dad's friend. And he was my friend. Look, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 21. You could see the friendship of David and Jonathan going far beyond Jonathan's life. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 1, the Bible says there in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And of course, that's always a symbol of the judgment of God. David right away knew something's not right here. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were a group of people that back when they were conquering the land, they had made a treaty together with Joshua when they were conquering Canaan, and that treaty bound the nation of Israel to never attack them or to take their land away from them. Saul, in his selfishness and Saul in his carelessness, had attacked the Gibeonites and shed blood, and that was going to obviously break the treaty that Israel had made with Gibeon going way back to Joshua chapter 9, I believe it is. And Saul had slain the Gibeonites, and God, again, was chastening now Israel because they had broken that treaty. Watch. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but were of the remnants of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? In other words, God has brought a drought upon Israel for 3 years. What do you require of me so that we could be right with you? What do you want as a recompense? What do you want as a payback? And that's a biblical principle there, that the person that is wrong, somebody goes to that person and says, what do you require of me to make it right? I'll do whatever you say to make it right. And that's what David did. He said, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul. In other words, we don't want your money, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. In other words, we know it's not Israel's fault. Israel as a nation didn't want to kill us or try to break the treaty. And he said, what shall you say then that I will do for you? And they said, and they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. They said, we don't want your money, we don't want your gold. And the truth is, we don't want to hurt the whole nation. But Saul has done us wrong. Saul has commanded an attack on our people, and it is his family. It is his family, if you will. It is his generation that caused us to have the treaty broken. They said, we want 7 of his sons to be delivered as a ransom, if you will, as a payment for what he did to us. Look in verse 7. But the king spared who? The son of who? The son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. What is the long-term effect of a friendship? Hey, David and Jonathan had a lot of short-term benefits to one another. Jonathan was able to warn David. Jonathan was able to comfort David. Jonathan was able to protect David. But when Jonathan died, there was a benefit even beyond Jonathan's death. You have to understand, David became king, and David could have taken all of Saul's sons and delivered them. All of the, if you will, the male inheritors, or the male, the lineage of Saul. He could have delivered 7 of them. He says, I have to do that to get right with the Gibeonites. He says, but there's a man that I made a covenant with when we were young, and that's Jonathan. And the Bible tells us here that he spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, because of the Lord's oath that was between them. You see, you have to understand, Mephibosheth's life was spared because his father, Jonathan, had wisely made friends with godly people. And I want to say to all of us tonight, it's very great that we're making friendships with one another, and certainly we can all benefit from those friendships and be a blessing to one another. But I tell you what, who's really going to be blessed in the end? Our children. You see, when we work together in our generation, the Bible commands the young people, don't forsake the friend of your father. The Bible commands, again, us as brothers and sisters to serve one another and to help one another. But let me tell you what, the effects of those relationships goes beyond my life and your life. I believe what we're doing at People's Baptist Church is setting a foundation not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. And Mephibosheth's life was spared very simply because his dad had made a wise friendship together with David. How important it is that we, again, develop good friendships. It may be what spares our children. You have to understand, Saul turned on David. Saul hated David and pursued him. His children died after he died. The Bible says 7 of them were given to the Gibeonites. But Jonathan, because of his friendship with David, his son was spared. I wonder, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, I wonder how our children are going to be benefited by what we're doing today. That's very real. And I know it's as important to you as it is to me that our children benefit from their father's testimony and their mother's testimony and their parents' choice of friends. Let's choose our friends carefully. Amen? Lord, thank you again so much for giving us an opportunity to have friendships with spiritual people, people, Lord, that are going the same direction as us. Lord, and certainly I know I've benefited so much from the friends you've given me, those people that have been a friend to me. Lord, I think of all the encouragement and all the good counsel and all the good advice I've gotten over the years. But Lord, even more important is the fact that one day my children will have an opportunity to benefit from those relationships that were built today and in the past. Help all of us, Lord, to realize as we build friendships with one another that it's not just for us, but it's for our children and their sake, Lord, because truly their lives could be benefited greatly or destroyed by our choice of friends. Please, Lord, give us wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. The piano play. Maybe there's a decision that can be made at this time. I want to encourage you to get close to other good, godly people. You say, well, friends, you know, if they don't do anything for me, that's, you know, let me tell you what, it's not only about what they do for you, it's about what they're going to be and where your children are going to be. And life has a way of causing us to reap what we sow, sometimes not even in our lifetime. But the Bible does promise that we always reap what we sow, always reap what we sow. Some people will benefit greatly from having strong relationships. Some people, their strong relationships with those around them will be a blessing to their children even when they're in heaven. That was Jonathan's case. Jonathan had long gone to heaven, but his children were able to have great, great opportunity. Their life was spared because of their father's choices. I hope that we can all one day from heaven look down and see our children dwelling together in unity. We can see our children, again, benefiting from the choices we made in our generation, who to be loyal to, who to trust, who to work together with. I believe it's very important for our children's sake that we develop strong relationships with one another. Jonathan chose to be a friend to David, and David responded by being a friend to Jonathan's son. Literally, it saved Mephibosheth's life. Because David, when he had the choice, he said, I'll give Saul sons, but I'm not giving Jonathan's son. I'll give 7 sons to the Gibeonites as a ransom, as a payment that has to be made. But nobody's going to touch my friend's son.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for another great message, Lord. Lord, the Bible is so full of important messages, Lord. Stories like the story with Jonathan and David, Lord, a true friendship, Lord, a friendship of loyalty, Lord. So we have the same opportunity in this church, Lord, with all the relationships, all the people we meet, all these brothers and sisters that we have the privilege, Lord, to serve with. Lord, it's a privilege to learn from each other, Lord, and encourage one another as we rear our children towards you, Lord. For you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to make the best of these relationships. Lord, these are great men and women, Lord, that serve in People's Baptist Church together, Lord, with one purpose in mind, Lord, and just for the benefit of your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, as we do this, Lord, our children will benefit us if we stay faithful, Lord. Lord, we seeing people come and go, Lord, but there's still a a big amount of people here, Lord, still sacrificing what needs to be sacrificed for your kingdom, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you give us strength and wisdom as we continue, Lord, to Lord, serve you, Lord. Help us just to learn from one another. And Lord, as Pastor said, Lord, 30 or 40 years from now, Lord, our children will have benefited from it. Lord, we believe this is true, Lord. There are great benefits. We already see some of the benefits of serving together, Lord, the little things that we can do for one another now, Lord. But we could, as we continue to serve, we can do greater things for each other, Lord, just as long as we keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name I pray.